As many of you know, my wife and I were in a car wreck late last year. Won't drone on with gross details, but a car pulled right out in front of us and we slammed into them, total two cars. At first, I didn't seem injured myself, although the next day I couldn't move my neck. My wife, it wasn't as obvious. As soon as I recovered from airbags and all the airbag dust in the car, she was obviously in pain in her chest like that. First fear was that's a Takata airbag that had not been replaced, so you wonder about shrapnel. But anyway, I got a car and checked her out, and she was thrown forward and a seatbelt caught her. She had her purse in her lap, and when the airbag went off, it crammed her purse into her chest. So she was in considerable pain and worry there, as I was. And eventually, you know, we had an ambulance, a fire truck, two police cars, and eventually two wreckers there. The EMS people checked her and said it was not serious injury, although she was obviously in pain and distraught over this, as I was. And, but I helped her over to the curb in this side street that the car came out and pulled in front of us. Like I say, she was so conditioned. The people were nice though. The EMS people were nice, you know, in checking her out, and we declined to go to the hospital because it wasn't going to be terribly serious. And the policeman, he was very nice. Of interest was, a young woman though walked up from the direction of the McDonald's, which was right there close to that intersection, you know, and she came over and she was like helping Sherry, you know, get up and get down, comfort her and, you know, talking to her. And I was back and forth with police and all this stuff like that. And I would come over and the young woman was very nice. I guess she was, you know, late 20s, 30, something like that, dressed neat and clean. And, but she would help Sherry and was hanging around. But I said, you know, couple of times I told her, you know, feel free to go. And she says, no, she would stay till the end. If necessary, she'd give us a ride home, you know, and that kind of stuff. And I told her, well, I would ask the policeman for a ride home. And plus, our daughter could come get us when school was over. And, but she kept hanging on. A couple of times I said, please move on if you need to. And, but she kept hanging on. And by about the third time, it became like an argument here, you know. Like I said, please feel free. You don't have to hang around here, you know. We're okay, you know, and you could move on. And she said, okay, I'll go. Okay, can we say a prayer before I go? Now, I'm from Houston, Texas. If somebody said that, this would be pretty weird, all right. But in South Carolina, that's not uncommon. When I go to my ophthalmologist, you know, at the end of my session with him, he says a prayer. Or he reads scripture, you know, and he knows we're religious people, you know. So it's not any big deal in South Carolina. So we all three stand up and we're holding hands in a circle. And she says a prayer, which is quite similar to what we say here. And she went off back towards the direction of McDonald's. And the policeman gave us a ride home. It was all great. And then we're at home and say, now, wait a minute. You know, you start putting little pieces together. And that was an angel that showed up to comfort Sherry, who is obviously injured and distraught there. Now, I'm not trying to convince you that that was an angel, all right? Angels appear in private materializations. They have personal appearances to individuals. This is not the era where angels are showing up and preaching to large groups or even, you know, in the scriptures. You didn't see them do that. They had private messages and they talked to individuals. So no one's ever going to convince you someone was an angel and someone was not, because it was for that person that they showed up. All right. And in fact, you know, they don't really want the whole world to know. What happens if, you know, the world found out, oh, we have angels show up at services every day. You know, how many people would be here or be afraid to be here, one or the other, you know? So that's where it goes. All right. So here's the question. What do angels do? What is their job? Now, they probably do a whole lot more than we're shown in scriptures, but we can identify one job. And if you want to turn to Hebrews 1, now this is the key verse to this entire message. Hebrews 1 and verse 14, which I will read. Now, a lot of these short scriptures I will go ahead and read as usual, but there's several long ones we can go through together. But here's Hebrews 1, verse 14. And this is speaking of angels. And are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for those who will inherit salvation? I cannot emphasize this verse enough. Angels are sent to minister to us. Not if or when, it is something they do. And that's the title of this message, by the way. Ministering spirits. Okay, so what does ministering mean? In Matthew 4 and verse 11, which I will read, is very short. This is after Christ fasted for 40 days and was tempted by Satan. And Matthew 4:11 says, then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. Well, they helped him recover. They took care of him. Luke 22, an angel strengthened Christ before the crucifixion. Now, here's some more scriptures that shed some light on what angels do. Psalm 34:7. Which I'll read, Psalm 34:7, the angel of the Lord encamps all around those who fear him and delivers them. Psalms 91, verse 11 through 12, Psalms 91, 11 through 12, for he shall give his angels charge over you to keep you in all your ways. In their hands they shall bear you up, lest you dash your foot against the stone. They're there to protect us. Let's look at Matthew 18, and we'll go through this one together for sure. This is Matthew 18. This is where the idea of guardian angels come from. It's Matthew 18, and I'm going to start in verse 2. Then Jesus called a little child to him and set him in the midst of them and said, assuredly I say to you, unless you are converted and become as little children, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. Therefore, whoever humbles himself as this little child is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. Okay, it's talking about converted people becoming like little children. Then we get to verse 10. Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones. All right. So now is he talking about the children or the converted people who are to be like children? Take heed that you do not despise one of these little ones, for I say to you that in heaven their angels always see the face of my Father who is in heaven. You can remember that little phrase too. They see the face of God the Father. Okay, who are the little ones? Well, you know, it's not totally clear. But whether it's children or children of converted members or converted adults, someone has angels in heaven that can see the face of God the Father. Okay, whichever it is, we know. Angels are sent to minister to us. Now, angels rarely manifest themselves, that is, materializing in physical form. If you think about it, they don't have to. They do not have to materialize into physical form to do their job that we're talking about, to minister to us. They can help without being seen. Now, here's a couple of examples. And this is fairly recent. There was a woman at work who was about to go down stairs, okay, where she works. And her heel caught on the flooring, and she was going down the stairs. She had already gone over, lost her balance, and she was on her way when she says she was pushed back up straight and her hands were lightly on the handrails. Okay. So that was protection. But I particularly like the part where she says, and her hands were lightly on the stair rails, the handrails. It's like the angel said, you dummy, hold on to the rails when you go down the stairs. But he did not materialize. It wasn't necessary. There's a story of the woman who was driving a car, and there was someone, I think she remembers icy roads or wet roads or something, but there was a car really coming high speed the other direction, spun out, spun in front of her, and she slammed into the other car. And the other guy really was thrown off the road and was basically destroyed, and the person was hurt. But nonetheless, she slammed into this car. And as you're ready for the impact and you're ready to be thrown forward, she could feel, but she was actually pushed back and had little to no injury out of this. But again, they're there to protect us, and it doesn't have to be seen. I know of someone who heard this voice behind them, and they turned, and there's no one there. But it was angel delivering a brief message of guidance, but did not have to materialize that. They could just speak, and she could hear. Now, there's these that are not real sure what's going on. There's this woman, she was 7 months pregnant, and she fell on down some stairs, okay, and she was injured. She was in the hospital in a lot of pain, but the doctors could not figure out what was wrong with her. And as eventually turned out, her hip was slightly dislocated. But she was in the hospital in a lot of pain. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with her. And then in the night, you know, kind of always in the night, but in the night, you know, this person shows up in the room, and it was dark. She couldn't really see, and she's in pain. So, and she assumed it was a nurse came in to help her. And they said they would help her with her pain. And they went over to the basin in the room and heated towels with hot water and wrapped her in these hot towels. And sure enough, it relieved, you know, virtually all of her pain. And she was in good shape after that. And then, of course, the next morning, the nurse comes in and says, who wrapped you in those towels? And she says, oh, last night the nurse came in, heated the towels in the basin, you know, and wrapped me. And she says, I'm the nurse, and there is no basin. But the towels were wrapped around her. All right. But she could not tell. Okay, you know, it's semi-materialized, you know, and it was dark, and you couldn't tell what was going on. But why do angels materialize at all? Okay, only God knows exactly why they materialize to minister to us. Now, there are many things could be done without materializing. For instance, messages could be delivered in visions and stuff. You know, you don't have to materialize. Some of the things that they may want to do and materialize to do are deliver messages. You know, we see in the scriptures, you know, there are big time messages were delivered and angels materialized in delivering those messages. They could render aid. You know, if you're injured or something, they could show up to render aid, or in our case, to comfort my wife who was injured. Now, in the scriptures, angels apparently materialized to bring important messages. You see Gabriel, you know, bringing messages a lot. And obviously that would lend a lot of significance to the message you're bringing or whatever else you were doing. Now, also, in my opinion, I think maybe they materialize sometimes just to let us know they are with us. Now, I am fairly sure I've seen four angels, materialized angels in human form. And there were probably others, there are a couple, you know, I'm not too sure about them. Before, you know, in my mind, you know, I saw them. And they had various purposes. The first one was, I was new to the faith, new in the church, and, you know, he was praising God to, because I had done something good. Okay. I do something good now and then. I had done something, and the whole story you can ask me sometime if you want. The second one was, correction. All right. I accepted that. The, third one was, a message being delivered to me. And the latest one was in the wreck, and that was to provide comfort. All right. But what do angels look like? Well, there are various kinds of spirit beings. As we see in the scripture, who knows, there may be more, but we see living creatures. I like that in Ezekiel 1. You know, they have four faces, and they kind of move on wheel kinds of things without turning their head. Well, they don't need to. They have four faces, you know, and they just kind of move where they want to go. But they don't look like we do. Okay. But there are living creatures. There are cherubim. My wife says, don't say cherubim. They're cherubim. They're seraphim. They're elders. They're spirits. They're archangels. And they're hosts. Now, we're interested in the host, all right? These are the ones that occasionally appear to us. Apparently, the vast majority of spirit beings are hosts. Now, apparently hosts, ministering spirits, always appear in a form similar to humans. That is, they have arms and legs and a face. And actually, that may be what they normally look like in the spirit realm. Now, you think about it, are we not created in God's image with arms and legs and a face? Yet we are human and God is spirit. Now, angels probably do not appear ever in total spirit form. Now, we read earlier that they can see the face of God. All right. Now, what would happen if we looked at the Lord, that's Yahweh, in the face? We would not live. Moses could not, you know, look at the Lord in the face. Does that mean you really couldn't see a spirit host angel in the face? It would also kill you. They're so bright. I don't know, but I'll leave that one to you. All right. But what do they look like when they appear to humans? Let's look at Hebrews 13:2. That is another significant scripture here. Hebrews 13, verse 2. And it says, see, I'm cheating. I have them written down here, but I'm watching Mr. Frenchek to see when he gets there. Okay. Hebrews 13:2. Do not forget to entertain strangers, for by so doing, some have unwittingly entertained angels. If you can't recognize them, you know, they look like ordinary people, you know, but yet they were angels. It seems to be that's the way they appear in modern times. You know, I don't personally know of anyone who says they have seen angels in this era, in the modern times, other than in totally human form. In the scriptures now, you know, when they appear, now, the scriptures are documenting major events. So when you see, you know, an angel show up, well, we'll look at some scriptures here, you know, they were not necessarily in total human forms, but, in modern times, you know, if somebody saw, you know, an angel who looked like, you know, lightning and stuff and his eyes were burning out of his head, that would probably get around pretty quick, but I haven't heard of that one. All right, but here are some interesting cases of appearances from the scriptures, though. Let's look at Matthew 28. Go Matthew 28, and let's start right off in verse 1. And this is the women at the Christ tomb. Now, after the Sabbath, as the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. And behold, there was a great earthquake, for an angel of the Lord descended from heaven and came and rolled back the stone from the door and sat on it. His countenance was like lightning, and his clothing as white as snow. Now, that's not totally human when your face is like lightning and your clothing is white as snow. And the guards shook for fear of them and became like dead men. They fainted away. But the angel answered and said to the women, "Do not be afraid." That's a common phrase there. "Do not be afraid. For I know that you seek Jesus who was crucified." All right. So they were afraid because the angels appeared angelic, and more spirit than human in the case. All right. Let's look at Luke 1. This is Luke 1, and we're going to go to verse 11. This is Gabriel to Zacharias. Zacharias being John the Baptist's father. And Zacharias is doing his duties in the temple. Verse 11. Then an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing on the right side of the altar of incense. And then Zacharias saw him. He was troubled, and fear fell upon him. Now, was he afraid that because all of a sudden somebody appeared, or the thing that appeared was not in total human form? But the angel said to him, "Do not be afraid," the magic phrase there, "Zacharias, for your prayer is heard, and your wife Elizabeth will bear you a son, and you shall call his name John." All right. Now, let's go down to verse 26, Luke 1, 26. And this is, verse 26, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David. The virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her," see, he didn't appear, it says, "having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she heard him, she was troubled at his saying." She didn't say she was afraid of what he looked like. She said she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And then the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid." See, do not be afraid of, well, apparently not the way he looked, is afraid of what he was saying. "Mary, for you have found favor with God." And I'll leave that one to ponder, you to ponder on that one some more. Now, it's an interesting question. In a scripture, angels only appear as men. Well, actually, they appear as spirit beings, you know, in all kinds of forms. But it's men. They don't specifically say there are any women. But we remember that we said, you know, in the scriptures, they're documenting major events, major messages being delivered, or significant events. So the question is, do they ever appear as women? I've heard this before. Okay. Personally, two of the four angels I've seen manifested were women. Okay. Two of them I've seen showed up as in the appearance of women. Now, what we have to remember is God's working with the church and the members did not end with the New Testament scriptures. It goes on. It will go on, you know, to Christ returns. So we can look at modern examples. Now, again, it's hard to prove that someone was an angel, but here's a fairly definitive example. There was this youngish couple, and they had their second child. Their second child was born, but she ingested embryonic fluid. Hey, no, come on, say, what's the real word? Embryonic fluid, gross stuff she ingested when she was born. And the prognosis was she would die. And she was in the hospital and had some kind of thing around her head to feed her oxygen, so she would not. But the parents were there basically one night basically to say goodbye because she wasn't going to make it. And a nurse came in. And the nurse says, why don't you try this? Try tickling her feet. Now, that isn't dumb, but you see how many times in the scriptures, you know, people are told to do something strange in order to be healed, you know, just kind of to test your faith. Nonetheless, it said, tickle her feet. Well, okay, we'll try that. And then the nurse was like, you know, go on, wherever, and tickled her feet, you know. And apparently they did it more than once, and you know, third time or something. She just started belching up this ugly green fluid that was in her lungs. And then she started to gasp for air. And the nurse was there then, and she says, you can go now. I'll take care of her. So in the way, you know how it always turns out. The next day, the young couple go back and say, I want to thank the nurse that was here last night, you know, for help. Oh, well, they went back and the baby was gone. They thought she had died. And so anyway, they asked the nurse, you know, on duty about the nurse last night so they could thank her. And they said, as usual, no, there was no nurse. But the nurse appeared as a female nurse. And that is a multi-person documented case in this era. Now we come to a conclusion, which will be fairly brief. Angels are ministering spirits sent to minister to us. They're very involved in our lives. That's their job. They seem to only appear in the form of humans in our modern times. And we need to be attuned to the spirit world. We may be unknowingly entertaining angels. I have two footnotes. The examples used in this message are from people attending in this congregation. I also recommend Arnold Hampton's three-part audio series on angels. It's very good. If you really can't come up with a copy, let me know. I can probably get you an audio copy of Arnold Hampton's series. Now, that's the conclusion, but it's not necessarily the end. Ever watch a movie or a show, and it's all done. They give you the credits, and then they show you the bloopers or the off-takes, the scenes they didn't use or whatever. All right. I told you it's hard to time this. So I have some off-takes, okay, that I will mention here. Our outtakes, they call them. Now, I said that, all right, why don't you do this? Turn to Psalms 103. Before I introduce it, we're going to look at Psalms 103. It comes right after Psalms 102. Now, wait a turn there. I said the angel who appeared at our rec wanted to say a prayer, and we held hands in a circle. And like I say, it was a prayer just like we would hear here, you know. But to close her prayer, and I say she, to close her prayer, she said, in your name, amen. We pray to God the Father. We've given, been given the privilege to pray to God the Father in Jesus' name, in Christ's name. She said, in your name, amen. So who's she praying to? Psalms 103. Bless the Lord, you his angels, who excel in strength, who do his word, heeding the voice of his word. Bless the Lord, all you his hosts, you ministers of his, who do his pleasure. The hosts work for Christ, their creator, as Yahweh the Lord. And they pray, if they pray, I don't know, you know, in the name, they pray to Christ, not in the name of Christ. Now this is a Daniel 10. We're going to go to Daniel 10. All right. Read this last week or whenever, but let's go back to Daniel 10 again. And we're going to be starting in verse 12. We're going to take a different tack to what may be going on here. Now this is probably Gabriel. He's the bringer of major messages. So we're going to look at Daniel 10, starting in verse 12. Then he said to me, that's Gabriel to Daniel, do not fear. We've heard that before. Do not fear, Daniel, for from the first day that you set your heart to understand and to humble yourself before God, your words were heard. See, Daniel had prayed, and then he had fasted for 3 weeks. Now, Gabriel goes on and says, and I have come because of your words. Okay, so he was heard, and Gabriel comes, but Daniel's been fasting for 3 weeks and showed up. Okay, so then Gabriel goes on to Daniel. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me for 21 days. And behold, Michael, one of the chief princes, came to help me, for I had been left alone there with the kings of Persia. Then he said, this is down in verse 20, then he said, do you know why I have come to you, and now I must return and fight with the prince of Persia? And when I have gone forth, indeed, the prince of Greece will come. Now, wait a minute, this is Daniel, you know, like, I mean, this is Gabriel, who, like, you know, shows up to Zacharias and scares him to death and, you know, it kind of puts the hammer down on Zacharias, or, you know, it delivers great messages even to Daniel. But here he is kind of like having a chat with Daniel. It's like, okay, there an alien from space comes down, lands, gets out of his spacecraft, meets you, and just starts a conversation. You know, like, who are you? You know, what? How do you know me? Why are we having this conversation? Okay, here's the point to this. We live in a physical world and do not see them. We kind of get myopic, you know, kind of focused in on this physical world and kind of forget about things we don't see. They see both worlds. They're ministering spirits. They see their spirit world. They're here with us regularly, if not all the time, and see the physical world. So Gabriel shows up and says, hi, Daniel. And we start to look at all the trouble I had, you know, coming. You know, like you invite someone to your house, you know, and they're late. And he shows up. Oh, there was a big traffic jam, you know, and he's telling you all about it, you know, and you're going to have trouble when you go to work tomorrow because there's still going to be traffic up there from whatever's going on like that. If you get the idea of what I'm saying, you know, angels work in both worlds, you know, and sometimes they even, you know, materialize themselves as humans or else in this world. They don't see the division. We don't see the division. Should we? Or should we be more attuned to the spirit world than that we are? You know, because there are ministering spirits here to help us. All right. Go to the third outtake I have. And this is Luke 1. This is my favorite angel scripture. Now, Luke 1, we're going to be down in verse 18. And this is Zacharias, John the Baptist's father, and Gabriel. Now, we read earlier, you know, Gabriel showed up, you know, appeared to Zacharias. Zacharias was frightened and that. So this is verse 18. And Zacharias said to the angel, "How shall I know this? For I am an old man and my wife is well in advanced years." How did he know that they were going to have a kid? Okay. To my wife, that's not why I like this verse so much. Okay. We have to carry on. She's better shaking her head. All right. Okay. And the angel answered and said to him, "You idiot, how many angels appear to you?" Okay, he doesn't say that. He said, and the angel answered and said to him, "I am Gabriel who stands in the presence of God and was sent to speak to you and bring you these glad tidings. But behold, you will be mute and will not able to speak until the day these things take place because you did not believe my words, which will be fulfilled in their own time." I like that. You know, you're in there. Gabriel shows up and you say, "Do you know what you're talking about?" You know, and you saw what happened to Zacharias. Okay. So that's my take on angels. Please don't forget, they are ministering spirits sent to be with us and to help us.